For young people. Guard against improper desires. David and Bathsheba. Part 1. Instructions. Do this exercise in a quiet place. As you read the scriptures, imagine that you hear the voices. Feel the emotions of the characters. Let the account come to life. Main characters. David, Bathsheba, Uriah, and Joab. Summary. David commits a serious sin and then tries to conceal it. 1. Think about the scene. 2 Samuel 11, 1 through 27 reads, "And it came about at the return of the year, at the time that kings sally forth, that David proceeded to send Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, that they might bring the sons of Ammon to ruin and lay siege to Rabbah, while David was dwelling in Jerusalem. And it came about at the time of evening that David proceeded to rise from his bed and walk about on the rooftop of the king's house. And from the rooftop he caught sight of a woman bathing herself. And the woman was very good in appearance. Then David sent and inquired about the woman, and someone said, 'Is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?' After that David sent messengers that he might take her. So she came in to him, and he lay down with her, while she was sanctifying herself from her uncleanness. Later she returned to her house, and the woman became pregnant. Consequently she sent and told David and said, 'I am pregnant.' At this David sent to Joab, saying, 'Send to me Uriah the Hittite.' So Joab sent Uriah to David. When Uriah came to him, David began to ask how Joab was getting along, and how the people were getting along, and how the war was getting along. Finally, David said to Uriah, 'Go down to your house and bathe your feet.' Accordingly, Uriah went out from the king's house, and the king's courtesy gift went out following him. However, Uriah lay down at the entrance of the king's house with all the other servants of his lord, and he did not go down to his own house. So they told David, saying, 'Uriah did not go down to his own house.' Upon that, David said to Uriah, 'It is from a journey that you have come in, is it not? Why have you not gone down to your own house?' At this, Uriah said to David, 'The ark and Israel and Judah are dwelling in booths, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are camping on the face of the field, and I, shall I go into my own house to eat and drink and to lie down with my wife? As you are living and as your soul is living, I shall not do this thing.' Then David said to Uriah, 'Dwell here also today, and tomorrow I shall send you away.' Therefore Uriah kept dwelling in Jerusalem on that day and the day following. Further, David called him that he might eat before him and drink. So he got him drunk. Nevertheless, he went out in the evening to lie down on his bed with the servants of his lord, and to his own house he did not go down. And it came about in the morning that David proceeded to write a letter to Joab, and send it by the hand of Uriah. So he wrote in the letter, saying, 'Put Uriah in front of the heaviest battle charges, and you men must retreat from behind him, and he must be struck down and die.' And it came about that while Joab was keeping guard over the city, he kept Uriah put in the place where he knew that there were valiant men. When the men of the city came on out and went fighting against Joab, then some of the people, the servants of David, fell, and Uriah the Hittite also died. Joab now sent that he might report to David all the matters of the war, and he went on to command the messenger, saying, 'As soon as you finish speaking to the king about all the matters of the war, then it must occur that if the rage of the king comes up and he does say to you, "Why did you have to go so near to the city to fight? Did you men not know that they would shoot from on top of the wall? Who was it that struck down Abimelech the son of Jerubbaal? Was it not a woman that pitched an upper millstone upon him from on top of the wall so that he died at Thebes? Why did you men have to go so close to the wall?" You must also say, "Your servant Uriah the Hittite died too." So the messenger went and came and told David all about which Joab had sent him. And the messenger went on to say to David, "The men proved superior to us, so that they came out against us into the field, but we kept pressing them right up to the entrance of the gate. And the shooters kept shooting at your servants from on top of the wall, so that some of the servants of the king died, and your servant Uriah the Hittite also died." At that, David said to the messenger, "This is what you will say to Joab, Do not let this matter appear bad in your eyes, for the sword eats up one as well as another. Intensify your battle against the city and throw it down, and encourage him." And the wife of Uriah got to hear that Uriah, her husband, had died, and she began to wail over her owner. When the mourning period was past, David immediately sent and took her home to his house, and she came to be his wife. In time she bore to him a son, but the thing that David had done appeared bad in the eyes of Jehovah. Draw a diagram showing the proximity, as you imagine it, of the rooftop upon which David stood to the area in which Bathsheba was bathing. How would you describe the personality of each principal character in this dramatic story? David, Bathsheba, Uriah, Joab. What emotion do you hear in Uriah's voice as he speaks to David in verse 11? 2. Dig deeper. What responsibility, do you think, did Joab have in the death of Uriah? 2 Samuel 11, 14-17 reads, "And it came about in the morning that David proceeded to write a letter to Joab and send it by the hand of Uriah. So he wrote in the letter, saying, 'Put Uriah in front of the heaviest battle charges, and you men must retreat from behind him, and he must be struck down and die.' And it came about that while Joab was keeping guard over the city, he kept Uriah put in the place where he knew that there were valiant men. When the men of the city came on out and went fighting against Joab, then some of the people, the servants of David, fell, and Uriah the Hittite also died." What responsibility, if any, do you think Bathsheba had in the incident? Clue: 2 Samuel 11:4 reads, "After that, David sent messengers that he might take her. So she came in to him, and he lay down with her, while she was sanctifying herself from her uncleanness. Later she returned to her house." Leviticus 20:10 reads, "Now a man who commits adultery with another man's wife is one who commits adultery with the wife of his fellow man. He should be put to death without fail, the adulterer and the adulteress as well." Where, perhaps, should David have been when he saw Bathsheba? 2 Samuel 11:1 reads, "And it came about at the return of the year, at the time that kings sally forth, that David proceeded to send Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, that they might bring the sons of Ammon to ruin and lay siege to Rabbah, while David was dwelling in Jerusalem." The Bible foretells that God will resurrect many who have died. What are some complex issues that will no doubt need to be settled between David, Uriah, Bathsheba, and Joab? What laws did David break, and what punishment could have been administered? Clue: Exodus 20:13 and 14 reads, "You must not murder. You must not commit adultery." Verse 17 reads, "You must not desire your fellow man's house. You must not desire your fellow man's wife, nor his slave man, nor his slave girl, nor his bull, nor his ass, nor anything that belongs to your fellow man." Genesis 9:6 reads, "Anyone shedding man's blood, by man will his own blood be shed, for in God's image he made man." Deuteronomy 22:22 reads, "In case a man is found lying down with a woman owned by an owner, both of them must then die together, the man lying down with the woman and the woman. So you must clear away what is bad out of Israel." In what way might it also be said that David violated the law stated at Exodus 20:15? 3. Apply what you learned. Write down what you learned about the danger of nurturing improper desires, blindly following orders when these conflict with God's laws, the consequences of sin, even if the wrongdoing is not immediately apparent to you or to other humans. 2 Samuel 11:27 reads, "When the mourning period was past, David immediately sent and took her home to his house, and she came to be his wife. In time she bore to him a son, but the thing that David had done appeared bad in the eyes of Jehovah." 4. Ask yourself, in what situations might I be tempted to keep looking at something that will nurture a wrong desire? How can I protect myself from desiring things that God hates? What lesson from this account is most meaningful to me, and why? Suggestion: Turn this account into a news story. Include interviews with the main characters and eyewitnesses.